Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The healing works of Christ were complete. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Can the same be said for the miracles of televangelists and faith healers? Today, some lessons from the great physician on miracles of healing. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles. Today we turn again to John chapter 9 and see the reactions of people when a blind man was healed, though not in the manner of some contemporary faith healers.
Many years ago, there was a woman who is very well known. I would mention her name, but I shall not, even though those of you who have been around a while, you'll know instantly who I'm talking about. She was a faith healer, and she later got sick and died, as all faith healers do, by the way. And I think that she's in heaven, though I believe that she was deceived. That takes more explanation than I'm prepared to give to you today, but I want to tell you what I saw. I was brought into the meeting here at the amphitheater in Chicago. Huge crowd, about 20,000 people. And because I was with the man who helped bring her into the city, I was sitting closer to her in the audience than any other person. In fact, a chair was put ahead of the front row, and I was sitting there. I saw buses come from Milwaukee and St. Louis and from Springfield and from the Quad Cities. And all of these buses came bringing people in wheelchairs. There was a whole section of the amphitheater, and it was designated for that. It looked like a car lot, if I might say it, with rows and rows. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of disabled people. And she finished her sermon. Then she said, "You have to come forward to receive your healing." So various people came, and nobody was quite sure whether a miracle was performed, but somebody came in a wheelchair, and the wheelchair was put on the platform, and the man walked across the platform. And she said, "You came in that wheelchair? I came in that wheelchair. And now you're walking? And now you're walking." Yes, a miracle. 20,000 people clapped. 20,000 people went home that evening and said, "We saw it with our own eyes." But because I was sitting so close to the front, as the man came down the steps, I motioned to him, because there was so much noise in the auditorium, so much clapping. I said, "In the confusion, I did not hear what it was you were healed from." And he whispered in my ear, and he said, "Well, to be honest, I don't know whether or not I'm healed." He said, I still walk with difficulty, but I'm trusting God for healing." I said, "You mean you were walking before you came here then today?" He said, "Yes, but I walk with pain in my back." Okay, 20,000 people said they saw it. But here's the heartbreaking thing, and this is where there is misunderstanding and hurt and cruelty. I stayed after the meeting. I did not hurry out the exits. I watched as all of these people in wheelchairs, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, were wheeled back to their buses to go to St. Louis and to go to Milwaukee, all believing it was their fault that they were not healed. If only they had had the faith, they could have been healed. In fact, she kept saying, "Maybe you're being healed. Try to exercise your faith." I saw people in the wheelchairs trying to stand up and always falling back. My dear friend, that is not of God. That's not the way Jesus did it. I say, not with sarcasm, though it may appear that way, that oftentimes the Lord's sheep often cannot tell the difference between grass and astroturf. What you have is people who feel guilty because they are not healed, because it is their problem. If only you had the faith. Whenever Jesus began a miracle, it was always a miracle of healing. And it was fully accomplished. Fully accomplished. So the first work of God done in this man's life was physical healing. Let me give you a second work of God, and that was spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. And the second work is going to be bigger than the first. What I want you to notice is the progression of how this man, his view of Jesus Christ developed. For example, in verse 11 we read, when they asked him, how then were your eyes opened, they demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He was not a believer in Christ. He was not saved in any sense of the word. He says, the man they called Jesus, that's the best he knew. And then they pressed him and said, who is he? And in verse 17, he says, he is a prophet. And that was honoring him, but he still doesn't know who Jesus is. He was an unconverted man. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he is not aware. He says, well, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. And the man said, Lord, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And this miracle was greater than the first. Greater than the first. Because that man is going to be in heaven today, and that's always more than a physical miracle. What that meant is that Jesus Christ actually, through this awesome demonstration, not only took the scales from his eyes and gave him new eyes so that he could see physically, Jesus also gave him new eyes of the heart so that he could understand that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was a sinner, that if he believes in Christ as Lord and as Savior, he will be saved. And he does something that you would never do if Jesus were merely a man. He worships him. He worships him. And so I expect to see that man in heaven. You know that there are parallels between the physical healing and the spiritual. For example, number one, both of them have to be done by God because both of them are a miracle of creation. When Jesus spoke the word, you see, and this man's eyes were formed and connected to his brain and the whole nervous system of his body. When Jesus did that miracle, it was a miracle of creation. And when he recreates us, when we belong to God forever, he creates within us a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God speaks the word, and as a result of that speaking, life is granted. Eternal life. We begin to see our sins, you see, because we have new spiritual eyesight. We begin to see God. We see his holiness. We begin to see our need of him. And the miracle turns out to be greater. You say, well, why is it greater? Well, think this through. Jesus could do a miracle of restoring somebody's sight just by raw power. He could just choose to do it. But also, when it comes to the spiritual miracle, it is not simply power. It is also grace. It is also Jesus dying on the cross for sinners. And that displays the love and the mercy and the justice of God. You see, if Jesus had not died on the cross, this man would not be saved even if he worshiped Christ. Because his sins would then be included in the death of Christ, which would take place a few years later. So you see, that is a miracle of love and grace. I've quoted the words of the song before, but they come to mind, and I'll see if I remember them. You remember, it took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to put the world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. That's the second great work that God did as a result of this man's blindness. Physical healing, spiritual healing, and then third, a work of judgment, a work of judgment. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Are you puzzled by that verse? Jesus said, I've come into the world to judge people, so that the blind see, and the seeing people are made blind. What he means is this. First of all, he comes to give spiritual sight to those who are blind and know it. You see, if you know that you're blind, if you know that you do not have spiritual sight, if you know that you're lost, if you know that you're a sinner abandoned to your own fate, there's hope for you, because then you can cast yourself upon the mercy of God, and God comes along and does the miracle. But, Jesus said, I also came that the seeing might be made blind. People who say to themselves, I see. Luther said on one occasion that the unconverted, they are blind and sick, but think that they can see and that they're well. And so they don't notice their need. You've met people like that. You have relatives like that. You've told them about Jesus Christ, and Christ has changed your own life, and they see no need to be born again. They're good people. They pay their taxes. They voted in the last election. They haven't killed anybody. They've never robbed a bank. What are you talking to me like this for? Jesus said that people who think they see are blinded because of his coming. Listen carefully. Not everybody benefits because Jesus comes. Not everybody benefits by an encounter with Christ. There are some people who are then brought into judgment, and they are made blinder, if that's possible. They are confirmed in their blindness because they heard about Christ and did not see in meeting him their great need for him to be their Savior. As providence would have it, yesterday I flew from Albany, New York to Chicago, and the folks who took me to the airport, a young couple who hoped to be missionaries someday, the wife grew up in a family where her father was blind since the age of 20. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I said, tell me about his blindness so that I can bring it into the message that I'm going to preach tomorrow. Well, they told me many things about his blindness, how he accepted it. He was a Christian. He was an evangelist, in fact, and never complained. He just accepted it as part of God's plan. But the young man who was courting his daughter, namely the woman that was there in the van with us yesterday as we were driving, he told me how he had to get used to the fact that he was dating a young lady whose father was blind. For example, he said one of the things that seemed strange to him was he would come into a room that was perfectly dark, no lights turned on, and the father wouldn't know it. He'd be sitting over there in the corner reading Braille just as if the light was on, because to him it made no difference. He didn't know which way the switch was. Now you translate that spiritually. The Bible says that the wicked stumble, and they do not know what it is that they stumble over because they're walking in darkness. And Jesus said, if the light that is in you is dark, how great is that darkness? They don't even know that there's light. You see, you tell them and you say, you know, there's such a thing as light. You believe on Jesus. And they're off in the corner doing their thing, and they can't tell the difference between light and darkness. And they say, why are you trying to upset my apple cart? I'm a good person. And they do not know that they need the experience of the light of Christ, giving them the illumination and the understanding and the miracle of the new birth. You remember, was it not Charles Wesley who talked about the fact that the miracle of salvation is so wonderful? And I know that we sang it recently. Listen to the words, though. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon filled with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's spiritual conversion that is more important than the physical healing. So there's a work of judgment. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what about those who aren't healed? What about those who are born with disabilities and they never are healed? They may be taken to faith healers. They may be anointed with oil, and sometimes God, in response to the faith of elders, that's important in the passage. It says the prayer of faith given by elders will restore those if they have the prayer of faith. It never says, now make sure that the person who is sick, make sure that they have enough faith, and if they don't, condemn them for their unbelief. You say, well, why are you feeling so strongly about this? Because I have had personal friends in my life who believe that God abandoned them and who wept before God in disappointment and anger because they could not find the faith by which they were to be healed and blamed themselves, and some of them went to the grave that way. I think, for example, of a man in the church that I grew up in Canada. He was born blind. And he used to attend church. People would help him and so forth. And he had a seeing eye dog. And he was always there in church. And whenever in this somewhat smaller church than ours, we had the opportunity, you know, to say what song we wanted to have sung. And we still do that from time to time, particularly in the evening service. He would always stand up. He was always the first to stand up. And as little kids in those days, we used to nudge one another and say, I bet you we're going to be singing Face to Face with Christ my Savior, because that was his favorite. And then he would always say this. He'd say, I want to sing Face to Face with Christ my Savior, because he said, I have never seen a human being, having been born blind. And he said, the first human being I shall ever see is Jesus. And so we sang, Face to Face with Christ my Savior, Face to Face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. That man, bless him, has long since departed this earth, and his eyes are doing very well right now, and he has seen the Savior, the first person that he will ever see. He lived out, you see, against the backdrop of disability. He showed us that it's okay. It's okay. We're all disabled. It's just that we're disabled in different ways. And in the midst of our need, God's grace is there to remind us that there's something more even than physical sight, something more important, and that is spiritual sight. That man had more illumination and more sight than many people who can see 20/20. I think, for example, of Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was not born blind. She was born perfectly okay, but when she was very young, early months, a doctor came along and said, do you see that rash that she has on her eyes? I'm going to put some salve on her eyelids so that the rash will go away. Well, the doctor put that salve on her eyelids, and it burned her eyes, and she was blind. Fanny Crosby, because this happened when she was very young, never saw a single person. Listen to what she wrote at the age of 9. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't, to weep and sigh because I'm blind? I cannot and I won't. Aren't you glad that she was 18th century and not 20th century? Or 19th century, not 20th century? 20th century, she'd have said, we're going to sue that doctor. We're going to take care of him. Where is he? We're going to hire some attorneys and we're going to get him. Why was it that years ago people understood that even these tragedies came from the hand of God? It's because, you see, their view of providence was large enough to include such events. Today, our God is not capable of being seen in the midst of something like that. And I'm not saying, of course, that there isn't a proper place at which doctors are responsible. And therefore, in certain situations, perhaps suing may or may not be right, depending on it. But I'm simply saying that we live in a very litigious age, and everybody is out there. Why? Because we can't see providence in something like that. And she did. And she blessed the world because of her hymns. Listen to the words of this blind lady, blind because some stupid doctor put the wrong salve on her eyes. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blind girl did that, not congenital blindness, but because of human error and foolishness. My dear friend, I want you to know today that Jesus said that this man was born blind so that the work of God might be displayed in his life, the work of physical healing. Not all blind people have that. The work of spiritual healing that's available to the blind and to the deaf and to people who are perfectly able to see and to walk and to hear. It's available, but also a work of judgment. Because what Jesus is saying in this passage is that just as this man needed me in order to see because there were no other options, just like this man needs that kind of a miracle, in the very same way, if you want to see spiritually, you need the same miracle, and if not, you walk in darkness, and your darkness is thicker than the darkness of the man who is born blind. Christ is saying to us today that in all things, he is to be glorified. And so I ask you today, do you see? We should read the end of the chapter. Verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him and heard him say this asked, what are we blind to? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. You'd be crawling to me for forgiveness. But now that you claim you can see, you remain guilty. So I say to those of you today who've never received Christ as Savior, you think you're doing okay. Well, read the text. Your guilt remains. Your guilt remains. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and in this segment, I want to simply clear up something that has been pointed out to me. Since this message has been preached, someone has let me know that the story that I told about Fanny Crosby isn't exactly accurate. There may have been other reasons for her blindness. But of course, it doesn't change her faith and her confidence in God. And she is a model to all of us to go on trusting God even when we do not understand. Even in our blindness, in physical blindness, there are those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a man who was blind who told me, "The first person I shall ever see is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior we have." And yes, my friend, as I mentioned in the message, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, if you see your need and you have the conviction of sin and you have nowhere to turn, remember, it is the Holy Spirit prompting you, turning you to the only one who is qualified to forgive our sins. The first two miracles that we've had in this series of messages on the miracles that should convince you, they were private miracles. Jesus turns water into wine. Only the servants who drew the water knew, and the disciples. Jesus heals a nobleman's son, and he knows about it for sure, and his servants know about it. But generally speaking, it wasn't even known that Jesus spoke the word, and 20 miles away, a son was healed. Now what Jesus does is a miracle publicly, and this irritates the Jews, and it is this irritation that is going to fester and fester and eventually lead Jesus all the way to the cross.
The powers that be saw Jesus as a threat, but the people he healed saw him as sent from God. In our day, he is still able to do what seems impossible.
My dear friend, don't be discouraged. It doesn't matter the thickness of the walls. It doesn't matter how deeply they've gone down into the foundation. None of that matters. All that matters is that Jesus speak the word and the walls fall down and you end up doing what you thought was impossible.
Seven Convincing Miracles is a series by Pastor Lutzer designed to build your faith. And these eight messages can help you as you reach out to share your faith with others you know. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When requesting your CDs, send a gift of any amount to further the outreach of Running to Win. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Our greatest fear, death. Our greatest pain, when loved ones die. A friend's death caused Jesus to weep. But then Jesus cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." Next time on Running to Win, we'll see why the risen Christ holds the keys of life and death for everyone who has ever lived. In our final message on the seven convincing miracles, we'll turn to John chapter 11, will witness Christ's last great miracle, the raising of Lazarus from the grave. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.